So if you're ever stuck on a desert island, I have some advice for you. What you're going to do is you're going to set up a church service. Even though you're all alone on the island, you set up a church service. And you set up candles, whatever you have as candles. And you forget to light the candles on purpose. Because that's your chance of rescue. Because inevitably, a church person will come to that island and say, "You forgot to light the candles." Jerry, say the prayer wrong. People will get up and rescue you. That is what happens. Because it's our response to something. I don't know. There's just something about it. These add-ons that we do, these little weeds, you know. And let me, I'll explain what I mean. But, you know, we get this glorious rain from heaven. This glorious appearing, this resurrection, this salvation. You know, it rains down upon us. And the earth responds by springing forth. And with any good rain comes lots and lots of weeds. And with any big rain comes big weeds. And the weeds choke up the other plants. And I don't know if you've ever had to deal with weeds. Everyone probably has dealt with that at some point. You know, they're problematic. And I had somebody define, David Monsingo, if you know him, he defined Reformation with that analogy, and he said, what happens is the weeds come up from the ground. Over time, they start to take root, and they come, and they fill the church. And the Reformation folks, any reformer, their job is to come in with the weed whacker and come in and get rid of all of the weeds. Now, I bring this up. One, because I'm dealing with weeds at home. I got them everywhere. And you haven't faced death. You haven't looked death in the eye until you have had to comb out little prickly weeds from a schnauzer's beard, which is probably what drove him insane in the first place. You know, these little clovers, they're beautiful. They, you know, they came up just at like St. Patrick's Day. They're beautiful. And then they have these little like heat or hair-seeking landmines that are attached to them that just have all these like prickly pieces on them, and oh, it's crazy. Man, we have a dog at home that's now allergic to grass. What is that? I have to crush up a Benadryl in his food every day. But anyway, that's a different story. So we get these weeds coming out. We finally got the solution though. I got this spray. It's this Weed Be Gone or something that's named that. And I got it, and I said, oh, this is going to be great. It's going to work perfectly. It has not killed a single weed. But I have to tell you, it's probably my fault, because I actually have to spray it on the lawn and rather than keep it in the cabinet, right? Because that's what I've ended up doing. A reformer's job is to weed whack. The weeds grow up, and they choke out the good soil. And even though the human temptation is to add on, to grow upward toward the heavens, the job of the reformer is to weed whack. So what does this have to do with Ascension Sunday? I don't know. We'll get there. But here's the deal. So Ascension is a really hard day for me to fully understand, because it doesn't seem like that good of a day to celebrate. You know, they just got him back. He was resurrected. He died for the sins of the world. And he comes back as a sign that, look, death cannot contain me. And because I live, you now live, if you put your faith and your trust in me. And he's there for 40 days, and it's great. He's back. It's awesome. And now he's leaving again? This doesn't seem like that good of a thing to celebrate, unless you're a chiropractor. Let me explain. Those guys go up to the hillside with Jesus, and he says, all authority is given to me, heaven and earth, and I'm with you always. And then he ascends to heaven, and they all look up like this. And they keep looking up like that. And I think that's probably a chiropractor's dream. And I believe that if it weren't for those two angels that come in and say, go back into the city, they'd still be up there. And then we'd find bones of these guys with terrible cricks in their necks. And I don't blame them, because he just got back. We just got him back from the dead, and he's leaving again. It seems like kind of a mixed bag, because on the one hand, we know he's going to prepare a place for us. As he returns home, he's preparing a home for us. But on the other hand, we love having Jesus there to hold to grip and to see him. They eat meals with him. They laugh with him. They fellowship with him. And now he's going away. And he tells us that it's better that he does go. It's better if he goes because he is sending his Holy Spirit. And I always think that would have been the saddest time, those 10 days between Ascension and Pentecost, when they know a promise is coming, but they know that Jesus in bodily form is not there with them. It's a hard week. And I'm sure that they're asking, why did he have to go? Why did he have to go? And I gotta be honest, I don't totally understand it myself. But I think that part of it, the key to understanding it, at least in part, is in that interview with the disciples, that Jesus is telling them what's gonna happen next. And they ask this really goofy question to him. And it says they keep asking him this goofy question over and over. They said, are you gonna now come, now that you're resurrected, now that you've got this power from on high and all authority in heaven and earth, is now the time that you're going to restore all Israel and free Israel? Does that seem like a weird question to anyone else? Like, he's overcome the grave, sin is canceled, and they want to know where he wants to set up his earth throne? Like, it's just kind of a weird question, because now, supposedly, their eyes are open and they can see what this whole thing was all about. And they're asking a very earthly question. They are imagining a Messiah that is going to restore some sort of earthly kingdom. I don't know. They don't seem to get it. That's not what this is about. That's kind of an add-on, you know, and they want to make that primary. That seems to be a weed that comes trickling up and going toward, you know, choking up the message of what this thing was all about. And it's in that moment that Jesus disappears. He goes up into heaven like a helium balloon. Isn't that a weird moment? But I think understanding that comes from their own misunderstanding of what happens. And the reason that he leaves has so much to do with the reason that he comes in the first place. We don't understand his leaving until we understand why he came in the first place. Well, what does Jesus say about his mission here on earth? In multiple places, Jesus says that his call is to do the will of the Father who sent him. And then Paul tells us later, it's a trustworthy saying that Jesus died, Jesus came to save sinners. And then in Hebrews it says that Jesus came to save sinners and once and for all pay the penalty for sin. Which tells me, just like anyone with a mission, who understands very clearly their call, that once he's done with that work, mission accomplished, he goes home. And I think it's for our benefit that he goes on Ascension Day, because now we can say that the mission that he has is completed. And had he stuck around, there's room for all sorts of add-ons, all sorts of other pieces that could be convoluted and confused into what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. At our men's breakfast yesterday, we did a little exercise. We said, how few words does it take to explain the gospel? Let's see if we can refine it so fully that we can explain it in the least amount of words. We got to four. I think we got to four. We sinned. Jesus saved. There's a lot more to it. But that's all that we really need to know, right? We sinned, and Jesus saved. There's a line attributed to John Newton, the guy who wrote Amazing Grace, that toward the end of his life, he was kind of losing his mind. He was starting to deteriorate mentally, and he said, you know, I know two things, that I'm a terrible sinner and I have a wonderful Savior. That's the whole gospel. We sin, Jesus saved. There is no need for any additional add-ons. And so when he has completed that mission accomplished, he ascends to the Father to prepare that place for us. There's no room for add-ons. Everything else we do, it's just weeds. All of the I know I realize I say that while I'm wearing a giant white dress, but the point is we're tempted to put our faith, our stock, in those kind of things. Some sort of Mosaic code. Moses' law. Or the church's law. Remember, right at the start of the gospel, they're saying that, right? Paul is going around and people are following him and saying, no. I guess Jack is giving a sermon too. Oh, no, that's George. But listen, people are going around after, as soon as Paul goes through and says, it's just grace. Jesus, we sin, Jesus saved. That's it. And then as soon as Paul leaves, people come in and say, no, you have to be circumcised. You have to follow the laws of Moses. And Paul's entire ministry is involved saying, no, it's just Jesus. And then we set up these church laws, too, that you have to do these things. You have to be in right standing with the church, and you have to do all of the sacraments just perfectly and genuflect in all the right places and light the candles in order, you know? It's just weeds. Or what about all of us that are tempted in those moments to say that it has something to do with our morality? It has something to do with us choosing to be a good person in order to earn what Jesus has already earned for us. Now, I'm not advocating that we keep sinning so that grace would abound. I'm saying that what changes us from the inside is knowing that one gospel truth, that we sinned and Jesus saved. And in knowing that truth, we transform. We weed whack. We remember that everything else aside from the gospel truth that we sin but Jesus saved is just weeds. There's no room for add-on. And I think that's the point of ascension, at least from you today, is that when we celebrate this, when he ascends to heaven and he goes upward, we say, he did it. There's nothing else to add. And when he goes up to heaven and he ascends to heaven, it's victory. His mission is accomplished. And not only that, but it's time. It's time for that mission and the ministry of the church to begin. That we don't stay still with that truth. That we go out with that refined gospel message that we sin and Jesus saves. And we bring it out by the power and the strength and the authority of the Holy Spirit, that same power and that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in us now. And that's what we celebrate next week. We celebrate the fact that Jesus saved us while we were still a ways off. We sinned, Jesus saved. That's all you have to share. Everything else is just weeds. And that's what we celebrate at Ascension. That the victory is accomplished. His return is our celebration. It worked. We're homebound. We sinned, but Jesus saved. Once and for all. So be ready. Get ready to go out. Go out and share that message. Don't stand there on the hillside like those disciples with crooked necks. We get to go out and share that message. Can you do it? Can you share those four words? We sinned. Jesus saved. And if you've never received that message fully in your heart, today's the day. Don't wait till Pentecost. Do it today. We sinned. Jesus saved. Let's pray.